Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't even know where my life would be if you didn't show your love for me from the chains that were binding me. Give me liberty, oh, set me free. It's been happening, yeah. For the Lord, yeah, was on my side. I belong, yeah, like a ship, yeah, without a guide.
Hallelujah. The song says, be free, be free. Amen. Be free. Hallelujah, you all. Welcome back to our live teachings as we are covering God's will, knowing God's will. Amen. If you were with us on last Saturday, we were covering so much on last Saturday as we continue on with our lesson today. And we stopped at what are some of the wrong assumptions about God's will. And so we'll pick up right there today. Amen. Let us pray. Welcome, Sister Dillard and Sister Townsend. Those that are tuning in on the website, welcome, welcome, welcome. And those that were entering this soon, may God bless them. May they be led to get on today. Amen. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Excuse me, y'all. We thank you, Father God, for new mercy and new grace. We thank you for this opportunity, this new day that you've given us, Father God, to receive, to learn. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, oh God, that you will bless us, Father God, with divine revelation, knowledge, and wisdom of your word to apply to our daily lives, Father God, that we may live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. We come against every unteachable spirit on the line, every rebellious spirit. Every spirit of fear, every spirit of anger, we come against every spirit of oppression, depression, anxiety, worry. We come against every spirit that's operating in us or on the line with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the deliverance, Father God. We ask in Jesus' name that you open up our channels of our spirit so that we can receive great and mighty from you right now. And Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We repent right now and we turn turn back to you, Father God, ask and receive forgiveness for our sins by faith, sins unknown, sins that we've created, oh God. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for all our transgression and trespasses and iniquities, Father God. Oh, Lord, purge us right now with his salt that we shall be cleansed. Wash us so that we may be white as snow. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for saving us, oh God. Your word says, if anyone lacks wisdom, that we can come and ask of you, Father God. So we ask that wisdom govern our life right now, the divine wisdom that you give, Father God, and we just want to say thank you. We thank you for your word, oh God. We know your word is true. It brings healing. It delivers us. It sanctifies us. It redeems us. It sets us free and makes all things new. And we decree and declare by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his name that we are walking in our newness. We thank you, Lord, for new beginnings, blessed beginnings, favorite beginnings. Amen. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we thank you for, Lord. We decree and declare your goodness right now operating in us. Amen. And all around about us. Amen. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you allow the scripture, all that's learned here, and our lessons on this Saturday to take root and manifest in us mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engrafted on our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our mind stayed on you and knowing the will that you have for our life, Father God, knowing your will, amen, to operate in it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we ask in Jesus' name that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We welcome you, Lord God, to have your way in us all the days of our life. We bind our mind with the mind of Christ and our will with yours, Father God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Welcome, Sister Dillard. How are you? And welcome, Sister.
All right. How are you again this morning?
Counting, how are you? Amen. All is well.
All right.
All is well. Good, good, good. I'm just going to send a message out to Miss Connie right quick. She's normally on the line with us just before I get started here. And then we're going to go dive right into our lesson today. Amen. Hold on, we are on for our Saturday lesson. Hold on, y'all. Bear with me for a minute. Yes, not going to be long here. Amen. Hold on, I'm coming. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We thank God. God is so good. Hallelujah. I'm coming to you all. I'm just trying to make sure that the time we get caught up with so many other things that we have our mindset to be on, that we know the spirit of distraction is set in on many. If we don't be careful. Yes, and the time will go by and we didn't miss it. Never, never, never know. So, anyways, Pamela, you ever listen now? Pam? Are you at Valencia House?
Yes, I am.
Okay, okay. Amen. Glory to God. I'm a silent shout line because I'm getting a lot of background here. Hold on.
Oh, no, I'm in my car. I'm not in the house, but I'm here.
Okay. Okay, okay. Yeah, you could have been on with her. So on Saturday's members, well, this will be our last Saturday, but anyway, on this Saturday, because we're in prayer, is my time. That's why I had you to be on this call for the lead lessons here on the line. Okay, we're just going to move on. We're going to go here. Amen. Just thanking God for the opportunity again to be here to receive in the name of Jesus. And it's so important. That's how we are being renewed daily, is keeping our mind on the things of God and making that choice, you know, to renew our minds daily. It's a choice. We all have a choice. As long as God gives us life, what we're going to do, are we going to surrender all over to God? Are we going to do God's will? Are we going to have it our way? And so with that being said, hallelujah, I'm coming. I'm just trying to make sure I do this here, and then we can go here. All righty. Hope everybody's having a good day so far.
I'm babysitting, so.
Okay. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just trying. Earlier we were on our family call, prayer call, I could hear everybody, but they just couldn't hear me. I don't know what was going on.
I
could still hear you.
Yeah, when I got out,
and then they
were
calling for you.
It wouldn't let me back. It wouldn't let me get back on.
Yeah, because it was closed out. Call set up for 1 hour, and it went over an hour.
Yeah.
And I guess it, after 5 minutes in there, it didn't hang me up, but I still could hear. Just I don't know if it was my phone or the line. And they was calling your name, telling you to finish it because I wasn't on there. But I was on there, they just couldn't hear me. All right, y'all. So we're just going to pick up where we were last week. Talking about the wrong assumptions of God's will for our lives and some of the things that you may have heard. I'm just going to kind of start off with kind of where we were last week just a little bit to just refreshing your mind. Another wrong assumption, y'all, if something is really hard and painful, it must not be God's will. So when we think of this as something is really hard or painful, we think it must not be God's will for us. So the flaw in this thinking is the notion that God only wants his people doing pleasant, fun, easy, comfortable things. So that's not true. So nothing in the Bible suggests that this is true. The Old Testament prophets, for example, nobody ever had a tougher job description than God's prophets. So to deliver blunt and unpopular truth to hard-hearted souls, God actually told the prophet Jeremiah up front. When we look in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 27, the Bible says, and I'll read it to you, it says, "Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you." So you can imagine, as God's prophet and as I am God's prophetess, there are people that I've gave the word to. Things I was like, "Lord, I do not want to. Oh, Lord, you know, this is just too much. Lord, I don't want. Okay, Lord, I'm going." I walked out of places saying, "Lord, I'm already out the store. I'm already in the car." I said, "Go back." And there are people that are around me that I've given the word to that they've come against, and they will not hear it. They will not receive it. But if it's God's word, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. So when we're talking about dealing with things that, you know, it's not easy to do, maybe painful. And so as we're looking here in Scripture, God told the prophet Jeremiah up front, "They will not listen to you." And sure enough, as Jeremiah and other prophets faithfully carried out the will of God for their lives, they were dismissed, they were mocked, they were even beaten. Sometimes they were majored, you all. So consider Jesus. Remember his baptism. Remember how God spoke audibly from heaven, expressing how much he loved Jesus and how he was pleased with him in the book of Matthew 3:17. You'll see this in the book of Matthew 3:17. If you have your Bible or your Bibles, you can go to it with me in Matthew 3:17 here. Hallelujah. Matthew 3:17.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Do you have it to do it?
Uh-huh.
Matthew 3:17, you want to read it?
Yes. All right. Matthew 3:17 say, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'"
Amen. So we see it here. And if you keep reading, the very next verse says, "The Spirit of God promptly led Jesus into the wilderness to face one of the hardest experiences in his life." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So we see it here, because we're talking about the wrong assumption that if something is really hard and painful, it must not be the will of God. So we see here that that's not true. That is untrue. Something that will be hard and painful to stay in that place and believe and trust God and know that this is the will of God for your life. For those of us who have read the Bible, you know, even with Hosea, God told Hosea, the prophet, to go marry a harlot. And then when he divorced, he told her, go back and marry again. And so we know that, and some things that God has to do will not be easy. I mean, it will be hard. The Bible makes it clear that servants of God who carry out the will of God even perfectly are not exempt from pain. So the ultimate example is Jesus sweating drops of blood, we said like drops of blood, in the Garden of Gethsemane and crying out, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." We see this in the book of Luke 22, verse 42, just before being led to his execution. So sometimes of everything that God wants his people doing is a hard and painful thing, you all. We can't assume that just because we're in a rough patch, we're outside of the will of God. Amen. Another wrong assumption, y'all, is if I'm not sure of God's will, I should just wait around and do nothing. That's another wrong assumption. So the Bible references plenty of occasions in which God directed his servants through dramatic visions, dreams, and other supernatural promptings to go and do very specific things. But in many other instances, you all, they didn't have a specific plan from above. What did they do then? They devised the best, wisest, most God-honoring plans they could come up with and then got busy, always giving God veto authority over their plans. Notice the language Paul used in the book of Acts. Now let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 21. The book of Acts, verse 18. Sam, do you have your Bible with you? Pam? Do you have your Bible with you?
Mm-mm, but I'm on my phone. I have my Bible up on the phone.
Okay.
Acts, chapter 18, verse 21.
Sister Debbie, do you have it?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. Let's read Acts, chapter 18, verse 21. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen. 21 said, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep his feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return.
Are you looking at Acts, Mama?
You.
Are you in Acts?
Yeah, Acts. Yeah, I'm in Acts.
Uh-huh.
18, verse 21. I'm in Acts
18, verse 21.
In the King James.
And read again.
Yeah.
It says, But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep his feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you if God will. And he said from
Okay. All right. I'm having a hard time hearing. How about that? What I'm going to do is I'm going to close out your line unless you're the one speaking, okay? All right.
All right.
All right, Sister Dillard. Okay, God bless you. Thank you. All right, you all. And so we look in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:19, the Bible says, but I will come to you very soon if the Lord is willing. Amen. If you're just now entering into our lessons here, we're talking about the will of God. Amen. And understanding, the notice the language of Paul used right here, I was giving God veto authority over his plans. Amen. So, and if we look in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 32, that's Romans chapter 15, verse 32, the Bible says, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. So you all, just having an understanding here of letting God's will be done in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. James encouraged this same kind of active trust in your open-handed approach for all believers. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, again, that's James, chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, the Bible says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow will we go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Amen. And that's in the book of James, verse 13 through 15. So rather than a lifestyle of passive waiting, you all, it seems a lifestyle of active humility is commended in Scripture. Amen. So I want to say this, y'all, but what about when you're stuck? What about when you're stuck, frozen at a road cross? You can steer a parked car, you all. This sounds like the sort of statement a grandparent or a wise older counselor would make. And guess what? It's true. When you're unclear about which option is best, in spite of praying and weighing out the pros and cons and consulting wiser souls, you ultimately have to make a choice and get moving. You can't sit around waiting for heaven to drop a detailed 40-year plan in your lap. I want, this is a newsflash, y'all. That's never going to happen. Instead, take a deep breath and then a single step of faith. And as you do, pray, Lord, don't let me do something foolish here. Keep moving forward prayerfully and carefully, asking the Lord all along the way to stop you, to tackle you if necessary, and redirect you if or when you start moving in an unwise direction. As long as you go, pray the prayer of a psalmist, you all. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Pray the Psalm 143 and 10, you all. Hallelujah. That Psalm 143 and 10, it says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Amen. Pray that prayer as you go. As you go. Amen. Hallelujah. At this time, I'm going to ask if anybody has any questions so far. Sister Bill, do you have any questions so far or comments?
No, I don't have any.
Amen. Amen. All right. Sister Townsend, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I'm good.
Amen. Amen. Sister Connie, is his cousin Connie?
I'm good. I'm sorry if you're done a little late, so I don't want to have any questions.
Okay.
I apologize for getting on a little late, but I'm writing everything down. Okay,
good. Amen. So we're just talking about God, knowing God's will, you all. The four P's of God's will is predetermined, preferred, permissive, you all, and personal. And I'll repeat that again. The four P's of God's will is predetermined, preferred, permissive, and personal. And I'll say it again in case you're writing it down. The four P's of God's will is predetermined, preferred, permissive, and personal. Amen? You all, careful reading of the Bible seems to show different nuances in the phrase God's will. So various passages in Scripture describe what we might label as God's predetermined, hallelujah, will, his preferred will, his permissive will, and his personal will. So that we're going to look briefly, you all, we're going to talk briefly about those broad categories that I just mentioned here. God's predetermined will, you all, many passages of Scripture mention God sovereignly and unliterally deciding or foreordaining certain things in eternity past. So we see this in words and phrases and verses. Like in the book of Romans 8:29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Also, we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, the Bible says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined us for the adoption of sonship. Amen. So that's in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, 4 through 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We also see in Ephesians 2 and 10, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We also see it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 23. The Bible says Jesus was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. That's in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 23. And 1 Peter 1 and 2, the Bible said God's elect have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2. So theologians call this idea, you all, that things happen because God has predetermined that they will happen, the decree of God. So this is God's predetermined will, you all, predetermined will. It's sometimes called his sovereign will or prevailing will. See, here then is that old familiar saying, everything happens for a reason, with huge theological overtones. So though all this is mysterious to ponder, it's crucial to remember that according to the Bible, God has an eternal plan to save sinful people, and nothing can alter or hinder this plan because it's rooted in God's all-powerful, unchanging character. Amen. So, the question is there any way that something unforeseen might suddenly pop up and change the Almighty God's plan? No. God does not speak without acting, nor promise without fulfilling. You see this in the book of Numbers 23 and 13. I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3 and 6, you all, we see this here. So to summarize this, you all, sovereignty means that nothing is random or accidental. Amen. That the universe is never out of control. The angels have never and will never hear God say, whoops, or uh-oh, I messed up, I made a mistake. God is in and over, behind and underneath all the details of life. Please understand that. All the details of this life, of our life, this life. Hallelujah. And I just want to break this down because we have about 3 minutes here. We're going to talk about sovereignty just for a minute here, you all, and then we'll be back here on next Saturday. Amen. Still, you know, learning and all of the will of God, God's will for our life and God's will as a whole. Let's talk about a little bit of what do we mean by sovereignty. You've ever heard the sovereign God. He's sovereign. What does it mean? What does that mean? When Christians say God is sovereign, what they mean is that God is the mighty king of everything. He's the head of everything, all-powerful. Amen. He is in charge. Despite how things may look or sometimes seem, God is ruling the universe, you all, and reigning over our lives in and out every day. In short, nothing happens outside of his control. I want you to understand that. In short, nothing happens outside of his control. Amen. And I'm going to give you all some scriptures from the Bible so you can see for yourselves. You want to write them down? I'll go a little slow so you can grab them. The Bible says in Job, verse 28 and 26, that's Job 28 and 26, the Bible says, God made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm. In Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 4, 35, Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, the Bible says, he does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? The Bible says in the book of Psalm 33, verse 10 through 11, as we're talking about God's sovereignty, you all, the Bible says, the Lord folds the plans of the nations. He brought the purposes of the peoples, but the plan of the Lord stands firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. We see this in the book of Psalm 33, verse 10 through 11. We see this in the book of Psalm 135 and 6. The Lord does whatever he pleases, it would pleases him, in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all the depths. In Proverbs 16 and 4, the Bible says the Lord works out everything to his proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. We see this in the book of Proverbs. And throughout the book of Proverbs as well, the Bible says, in their hearts, human plans, their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. The Bible says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Amen. And Matthew 10 and 29, the Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Amen. So understanding God's sovereignty, all-powerful, king of kings over all. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So you all, as we wrap up here, as the system is telling me, my time is running out of here. But I want you to understand this before we leave here. Throughout history, the people of God have wrestled with questions about the ways God's sovereignty works out in daily life. Can anything happen outside of God's sovereignty? That is a question. And as I said earlier, no. If something could happen, come into being or come to pass apart from God's sovereignty, then it would mean that the universe is subject to another power, cause, or deity that rivals the sovereign God revealed in the Bible. Yet the God of the Bible declares, apart from me, there is no God. We see this in Isaiah 45:5, you all. Says, apart from me, there is no God. So this means that anything and everything that happens must be, in some sense, the will of God. So this conclusion, y'all, naturally makes us uncomfortable. And so we ask a further question. How does God will these things? How does God will these things? God wills some things directly, that is, necessarily. Gravity, for example, necessarily works according to the law of God, has decreed, established for it. If you have ever dropped a bowling ball on your foot or something else on your foot, you understand this all too, you know, we all know this too well. God's wills other things indirectly. That is it. They occur by means of creatures with the freedom to make choices. We are creatures. God gives us free will. We all have free will. Yes, this creature's free will. So from this point of view, God's omniscience, you all, his knowledge of all things, including his foreknowledge of the future, of these autonomous, you all, choices of creatures are certain to happen. So, but they are not necessarily in the same way that the behavior of gravity is. God does not, you all, coerce choices, you all. It is a great mystery, but it is in the plan of God. Divine sovereignty and human responsibility are not at odds. They work seamlessly, but are true. But if we say that God is in complete control of the world and that the world is full of evil, doesn't this logically make God the author of evil? The Bible is clear that the Lord is holy. Leviticus 2:26, we see this. In him is no darkness at all, according to 1 John 1:5. He doesn't tempt you all, anyone to do evil, according to James 1:13. In giving his created beings freedom to make choices. So God gives us choices. We have free will. God permits evil and allows bad things to happen, you all. But why? We cry. The answer to this question is complicated. We infinite humans cannot completely comprehend the mind and purpose, infinite God. Amen? But some things may be said about the existence of evil in an original good creation. The possibility for evil must be present for created beings like angels or humans to be truly free and responsible beings. And that is what the Bible says, you all. It is our choice. Amen? We have a choice. It is our choice. Love and trust God or to reject him. According to Scripture in Deuteronomy 30:19 and also in John 5:40, 7:17, I want you all to think about it. If we were pre-programmed to obey God, we'd be nothing more than flesh and blood robots. Love that is forced isn't real love, you all. The presence of evil maximizes the beauty of the gospel and the glory of God's plan. Amen? And in the same way that a diamond sparkles more brilliantly against a dark velvet background. But let's be careful here. We're not saying that evil is a good thing. We're saying that God can redeem the ugly reality of evil in our lives and in the world, and that he will use it all to lead us to a better world. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless everyone here today, you all, and I'll open up your line. And if you have any questions or comments, and we'll answer those or receive your comments. Amen. Sister Dilla, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Mama. Amen. All right, Sister Pam Townsend, you have any questions or comments?
No, I'm fine.
All righty. God bless you. Amen. Cousin Connie, do you have any questions or comments?
Oh, yes. So the virus that we have right now, could you explain it?
Which one? I'm sorry.
The COVID virus that we have right now, it's allowed or it's God did it or?
No, God doesn't do evil. He's not evil. He will allow things to happen in this world because, one, he gives us free will, right? So a lot of things that man-made are created, some of these things are created by men, virus and sicknesses, but because we have free will and God gives us the free will, that means man will take what is good and make it evil. He will turn it around.
Oh, okay.
So because God gives us a free will, everything comes from God. Our free will comes from God. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
It's like
okay.
You have a child, right? You say, okay, I'm going to give my child free range. I'll let you go out there and do whatever you want to do, daughter, son. But we teach them the good. But if they choose to do what they choose to do evil, though we didn't tell them to do evil, but because we gave them free will, free range, you know, let you treat your child. I'm going to leave you home. Don't mess up the house. You have a house to yourself, right? We don't tell them, okay, tear up the house, let people in, but because we gave them free range. We didn't bring a baby to the end. We let them be there. We gave them free will. And they took that free will to destroy.
Okay. And they could have did whatever they wanted to do. They could have done well with it, not tore up the house.
Exactly.
Or they could have made another choice and then be doing what they've been taught to do. But
right.
So the choice.
So let's say if you leave your child, you give your daughter or son $50,000. And the one take it and invest in a business, one take it and invest into like a strip club or buying all this ammunition is how they're going to shoot up the city. Well, you gave them the money, told them you gave them free will with it. You didn't say take this and go through this with it. You said here it is. It's just like free will. God gives us free will. He gives us the free will and say do with it what you want. But it's up to us to say, Lord, let your will be done. Are we going to do right by God's will that God has given us? So that's why everything comes from the Lord, but because he gives us free will and we have taken that thing and made it evil, we've taken that free will and not to do it for the goodness of the Lord, but to do the opposite.
Okay.
Okay, when we tell God, let your will be done, Father God, though he gives us free will, we can ask God's will to be done for our life. So that's why you see so much evil stuff going on because God gave us the free will and we've taken it.
Okay.
And those of us who've decided to do that way or be that way, to be evil. So if you say, well, that coming from God, it truly, it comes from God in a sense because he gives us a free will, but it's not God that's creating the evil. It's because of the free will that he's gave man, he's gave woman, and it's created the evil in this world.
Okay. So what's the number to call back on to listen?
Come again?
Because I used a number before and it didn't work. So that's a call back to listen?
Which one is it?
What's the callback number so I can listen to this call again?
Oh no, you wouldn't get a callback. You have to actually go online and click on, go to the preacher and the pastor, and then you would click on this lesson for today or any past lessons. So you have to, I'll send you the link. And then you have to go online
and
listen to it. I'll text it to you. I'll text you the link, and you just click on it, and it'll take you to the site, and then you just click on the whatever you want to listen to, this one or last one. Everything that we do on this line is archived.
Okay.
And so you can also go through the book of Ephesians. But I don't want to confuse you because I'm teaching according to how the lesson is going. Amen. Amen. All right, you all. God bless you. God keep you. And amen. As we go further, you all, we'll be able to break down even more to your question. You can go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 as well. Amen. All right, God bless everyone. Read Ephesians chapter 6.
Okay.
All right, God bless everyone. You all, let us pray. Thank you. Thank you for that question. I'm sure some of us probably had that question, didn't know how to ask the question. So I appreciate all comments and questions, you all, because someone may ask the question that you very well say, oh, you know what, I was thinking about that, or I was wondering about that, or I didn't know how to ask that. So I thank everyone. I welcome all questions and comments, and I thank my husband. He's not in lesson, but he's right there listening. So he's like, oh, just let him know she can go to Ephesians chapter 6 as well. Amen, to understand it even more. So God bless everyone, and God keep you. You all enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, one more time for this opportunity that you allowed us to come receive and learn
mind, Father God, understanding your will, Father God. And we just want to say, Lord, thank you for your will, oh God, to prosper us, oh God, to give us a hope in the future. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, Lord, we just can't thank you enough, but yes, till we thank you. Lord, we pray for your protection around everyone that's here on the line, all that purpose and hearts to be on the line today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that you'll protect all, oh God, guide us and keep us and strengthen us, Father God. Oh, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you continue to, Father God, pour into us mighty your word, Father God, that we will live according to your will and plan and purpose for our life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for loving us. Thank you for new mercy and new grace, Father God. We bless your holy name, Father. And, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, oh God, that you would continue to protect the minds of our children. Father God, that you would send them one, oh God, that you would send us, oh God, with your word to speak to our children that will change their life for the better. Amen. And we just want to say thank you and we love you. Lord, we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God. We ask that you go with us, oh God, through this day, Lord, giving your angels charge over us. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. You all ask that you continue to pray for us here at the Gospel Public Ministries, my husband and our children, and all that God has blessed us with. Hallelujah. We look to see you all in service on tomorrow at 10 a.m. We have our service at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again, if you want to go back and listen to the archive lessons, you all, you will go to the preacher. You are the Blog Talk Radio. / the preacher and the pastor, and you'll be able to click on to today's lesson and all that we've already had in past and present and past and even today. Amen. God bless you. God keep you and love you, and I thank God for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You all enjoy. And remember, Jesus is Lord, and Satan is already defeated, and you have the power of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want
to
hear her say,
call me
one time.